Battles over spot, take your finger and pick a spot, and you'll find there's a battle or there's a skirmish or something going on. Cannot we say that who was the one that started the initials or started the skirmish now by knowing who initially started it off? Amen? And that's the same. The battle is raging on, but the cool thing is Satan will not win. Y'all say that with me. Satan will not win. Say it again. Satan will not win. We'll read this several times. We'll be fine on these. I love it. Get your Bibles out from Matthew chapter 16. Remember, this is going to take us all the way through Easter. And what we'll be doing in, you'll understand why this is going to take us through to Easter. It's important that we understand some of the principles that we're getting ready to be taught. Let me give one principle today. Altogether, there's going to be 7+ principles, but it's very important that we get this first one really, really strong. Stand for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. And Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" That's something very powerful. Think about it now. Who do you say, you personally, who do you say Jesus, the Son of Man, is? Because if you don't know that, then I hope you get to know that through this series. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. And he said to them, "But who do you say I am?" This isn't about what your grandmama told you. This isn't about what your granddaddy said. This isn't about your great aunt, your third cousin. They go to church every Sunday. They really, guys, you all come. Do you know God? Do you serve the Lord? Again? Well, my grandmama is in church every Sunday. My granddad, before he died, he was really a very powerful man of God. No, no, no. Who do you say that Jesus is? Amen. No piggybacking. Who do you say that Jesus is? And they said something again. Oh, here it goes. He said, "Who say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that you are alive and you are well, God, and you are working all things for our good. God, I know there's a battle raging. There's people just this day, right this moment. There's a battle in their homes. There's a battle for food. There's a battle for medical needs. There's a battle for their mental health. There's a battle all over the world for control of territories. There's all kinds of battles that are going on. And if we can all get a glimpse of what Jesus said to his disciples that day, "Who do you say I am?" the world will change overnight. Ask you right now, Lord, to help us to get a fresh victory. Help us to get a fresh anointing. Help us to get a fresh look at who you are. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, amen. You can see the way down, tell somebody, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Wow. So we're talking about the battle raging on. I'm going to run through it kind of quick. There's a lot here, but I don't want to overdo it, but I don't want to underdo it. Okay? I don't know if you've noticed today. Follow me. Have you noticed that satanic activity has risen to an all-time high? is between God being snubbed. Every you can't say God's name, you can't, you're gonna offend somebody, talk about God, you're gonna offend somebody if you pray, blah 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 blah, blah blah blah. There was one high school, literally, their own high school at their graduation just a couple years ago, they were told that they could not pray for the students after they turned their caskets. Can't pray for them. And they said, they tried to get it through and said, no, the city council and said, no, because you're going to offend somebody. So you cannot pray for the seniors as they turn their, the graduates as they turn their castles. So they came up with an idea. When they turned their castles, all of the students sneezed. And somebody called, God bless you! That's awesome! So there's an increase in the satanic activity and between God being snubbed and this new feel-good agenda, and you can't hurt anybody's feelings agenda, Satan has stepped up in all of it. People don't even realize it. He's stepped up in all this stuff, and he's gaining momentum daily. That's why some of the most absurd things that you could ever imagine is being called in some areas that doesn't even make sense. I can't understand why it's even being talked about, but because of all this stuff, and Satan is getting him a foothold in all this stuff that's happening around us. Now, matter of fact, the battle that we are facing today is real. It's a real battle. None of the real, the lines have been drawn. None of the lines have been drawn. Sides have been taken. Territories have been lost. And as time goes by, it seems that Satan is picking up steam. And he's running roughshod. You know what roughshod means? It means to step over somebody, to trample them down, to not care about their feelings, to not worry about if you hurt them. Whatever they got to say does not matter. And he's running over the church roughshod. It's important that we understand this so that we don't lay down and take it and lay down and lay dead, but know there's a battle going on. You know, I was watching softball yesterday. I got two granddaughters playing softball and I got a grandson playing baseball, and I tell them all the time, when they're up to bat, I always tell them, I say this, I tell them this all the time, I'm going to see a damn list. It is not something to be ashamed of if you strike out at the plate. But what's something to be aggravated with that makes me mad when I was their coach especially is if you stand by and then three strikes go by and you never swing. That makes me mad. And so my boys learned, okay, dad's watching, swing. I told them, I said, no singing, you swung. And the granddaughters, they told them the same thing as the coach told them, my grandson, the same thing. Make sure three balls don't come by, three strikes, and you never take the bat off your shoulder. It's kind of like you're giving up and it never fires shots. Satan is throwing fastballs at us. He's throwing curveballs at us. He's throwing changeups. And you got a decision to make. Are you going to sit there with your bat on your shoulder and then three strikes come by, or are you going to go down swinging? I may go down, but I promise you, I'm gonna go down swinging. Because you got to understand something. In all of this, the devil just won't win. How many know what WWJD stands for? Somebody say, what's WWJD? What would
Bobby get Jesus do?
That's a good question. Okay, WWJD is, what would Jesus do? What is DJWW?
The devil just won't win.
The devil just won't win. I want to get some things made up on one side WWJD, another side DJWW. The devil just won't win. So it's important to understand that we're going through this battle and it is a tough time. I want to talk about the side. Set aside the drama. I want to talk about it for a minute. There's heaven and there's hell. There's Satan, there's God. So watch these. Watch. Here's the difference, and you got to understand that when you're falling for the Satan, this is the stuff you're going to be, that's going to be happening to you. Ready? God is our creator. Satan is the destroyer. God is good. Satan is evil. Even when it seems like he's being good, it's just part of the trap, it's part of the honey to get the fly in. I promise you that once you get in that honey, you'll find out that it weren't so sweet after all. God is the giver of life. Satan is a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning, according to the Word of God. God is love. Satan is hatred and malice. God is truth. And God cannot lie, but Satan is the father of lies. In other words, at all, one more thing, God is our greatest advocate. He's on our side. Satan is our greatest adversary. So you gotta understand something. Satan opposes everything God is and everything God does. You know, I get aggravated when I see some of these politicians. If somebody's on the other side of what they are, they automatically oppose everything they say. Good, bad, or ugly. We should oppose them because of the other side. And I see people, well, they think it's a good idea to find out who said it. I don't like that idea anymore. You ever seen people like that? Well, they find out who told God did it, they didn't like it anymore. Well, that's how Satan is. Once Satan knows it's God's business, he hates it. Once he knows God has said it, he doesn't want to have anything to do with it. He hates everything and opposes everything that God does. Now, let's just talk a little bit about Satan for a minute. Here are the strategies of Satan. We'll read these scriptures. This is very important. This, you know, the Bible, you say, well, the Bible doesn't necessarily tell us a whole lot about Satan's beginnings. Well, you got to understand something. The Bible is not the story of Satan. The Bible is the story of man, his creation, his fall, his redemption, and his eternal place. That's it. That's what the Bible is all about. Now, God gives us all this other stuff if you know what you're looking for. God, listen in His Word, He tells you things. But the Bible is specifically about man. So here we go. And about Jesus with the plan of salvation. So here we go. Ready? Isaiah 14. Wow. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. Satan himself failed because he was prideful. Isaiah 14, 12 and 16 says, how art thou fallen from heaven, Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the Lord. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Okay. The Bible tells us that when you're ordaining elders and preachers, you better be careful not to get a young one that doesn't understand, because who gets lifted the same pride as Satan and he'll fall. What is that talking about? Does it mean I will sin above God? I'll be like God? No, what that means is, and we do this all the time, I don't need to go to God. I got this all figured out.
Big hit.
Wow. I'll pray. Let me get it done first, and then I'll pray. When you push God to the side or put Him on the shelf, and He becomes your parachute instead of your pilot, you will fall into this gap. Wow. That's an ouchie. Don't say that's an ouchie. And we all do it. Anybody here has never said, I got this before you pray? Anybody there besides me? Can everybody raise your hand, shout, and look around and say everybody's hand raised? Everybody raise your hand, please. Thank you. I had to think I'm going to raise my hand. I was at Sunset Best, and I said to the kids, I said, how many here plan on going to hell? Stand up. And a little boy in front stood up. I said, dude, why are you standing up? He said, well, I didn't want you. If you're standing up, I didn't want you to be an old woman. I will send above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down the hill to the sides of the pit. Now, what happens to us is, we don't necessarily want to inhale him, but what happens is, we cause problems in our own life because we try to figure it out ourselves and do it ourselves. We don't need God. And what happens is we bring on our own sense of hell around us. Amen? So he said, look, they will lay the seed and shall merrily look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth tremble that did shake the kingdoms? Think about this. One day we're going to see Satan. And when we see him, we're going to go, that's the guy we've been afraid of. That's the guy that's been caused all this problem. That's the guy that's been tearing the world all to pieces. That's the guy that's tricked so many people into going to hell. There's going to come a day when we see that. But until then, we're here, we're now, and I want you to understand, just seeing that right there, is this the man that caused all this to happen? We can say boldly, the devil just won't win. Say it. The devil just won't win. Glory! Ezekiel 28. It says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. He was awesome. He was beautiful. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the pearl, the ox, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, the worship of the fabrics, and the pice was prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have said thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee. But the most of the merchandise that have filled in the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. This is where actually we're talking about the fire. This is where they believe that, and we hear it all the time, that Satan, he controlled the music in heaven. Music has a way of touching people and anointing them and doing something special with them against the heart movement. And so here he is. He keeps trying to be the man. He keeps trying to take control. So he lost out because of personal pride. Now, he was in the garden. If he's in the garden of God, and now he's lost his position, he has to look and see Adam standing in the place of the Lord. Because now, he's attacked because of his personal pride. Now he's going to attack Adam through pride and misinformation. He takes the word, he spins it all around, he makes him say what he wants to say, and before you know it, he has destroyed the mission. He's destroyed the first Adam. Genesis 1, 3 and 1 says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, and God said, here it goes, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, that you should die. And the serpent said, well, you shall not surely die, for God knows in that day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave it with her husband also, who was with her, and he did eat. This is hard to understand because God tells Adam, don't mess with this, because in the day you do, you're going to surely die. Leave it alone. And so here's his wife, and she goes, and the beast doesn't even talk to her, Satan doesn't even talk to Adam. He's talking to Eve, but the Bible says that Adam was with her. Think about it. Adam is with her. So Adam's hearing this conversation. He should have stepped in and said, no, God said this. This is the word of God. This is the way it is. Don't you mess with my wife. Don't you mess with my family. But instead, he just sat there. And the Bible says she eats of it. And then she goes, hey, here, you eat some too. And that wasn't blaming him, so she Apostle Paul, who said many times, you know, Adam, he said, Adam, you eat that fruit? And Adam goes, it was that woman who gave me. He said, did you eat that fruit? She said, it was that snake. And she asked, the snake, I'm glad the snake didn't have a leg to stand on, of course. And their eyes were both open, but they knew that they were naked, and they sewed thin leaves together and made themselves apron. This is the beginning of spiritual warfare. Those fiery darts that we were brought out was Satan twisting the word of God. And the biggest thing Adam made was he was the priest of his home. He relinquished that, gave that to his wife, and instead of saying what he heard personally, he just listened and he obeyed, and the rest is history. There was two deaths that day of Adam and two deaths of Eve. The first death, they both spiritually died. And the second death was they began to decay. And they passed it down to us who are all born in sin and who were born to die. So now, watch this. So, Genesis chapter 3, the first Adam. The second Adam is in the wilderness. Jesus began to take his ministry, he's going into his ministry. He's getting ready to kill him out and get it done. And for 40 days and 40 nights, he's tempted of the devil. And it does good because he's not eating anything, he's not drinking anything, and he does good, he does not fall for it. Then the very last, that's when Satan gives him the three great temptations. So for 40 days and 40 nights, as his body is declining because he's not eating or drinking, he hits him, and he's at his lowest point, he hits him with the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He offers him, he says, you're hungry, make some bread. All this kingdom is going to be yours if you worship me, and if you cast yourself down off this, go into the temple, and God says, who did his angels cast you? He should cast your foot upon the stone. And that's the three temptations we get in our life all the time. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But when he tried it, guess what? He took him in. He tried to destroy the last Adam, and the last Adam stood up and said, no, that's not how this is going to go down. Now, today, trying to break through this now. Today, there's a personal attack that everybody's in here. No matter your age, no matter how long you've been serving God, I used to think years ago that once I got about 50 or 60, man, it'll be a piece of cake. And those guys are 80 and 90, man, they don't have any aggravation. They got this, they just John Wayne all the time. And I found out the older I get, the more I learn about God's Word, the more I find all kinds of attacks. Either personally, or people in my family, or people that I know, or my church members, I have to guide them through. So, your personal attack is coming from Satan through any means possible. Think about it. Through any means possible, what does that mean? That means he can use your wife to say just the right thing at just the right time and cause the downfall. He can use your child to say just the right thing or do just the right thing at just the right time. He can use your friends. He can use your co-workers. The Bible says he disguises himself as an angel of light. So don't be amazed. He can disguise himself as an angel of light. But he comes to us and he knows how to get us. And his mission is to destroy the mission of the church. If he gets you mad at somebody, guess what? Sometimes the people that you're the maddest at are the ones that God wanted you to do the most with to help. But how can you help them if you're mad at them? There's other people that we just say, they don't look like me, they don't talk like me, they don't act like me, so I won't be around them. And God says, you're the one that's going to make a difference because you're the one they'll listen to. So, Same desire, watch this, to affect your thinking, to affect your life, and to affect your relationship. That's his desire. And if you think about this, that's how things work. My thinking affects me personally. Then it affects those that I'm working with. That's how it works. So Satan starts here. The biggest battleground you ever step on, the biggest battleground Satan steps on to you is about 4-6 inches. That's right here. Right. He wants to affect your thinking, your life, your relationships in order to infect your thinking, your life, your relationships. Why? I watch it, I see it, I have to fight it myself all the time. Somebody aggravate me. And I go, are they really aggravating me, or is it just because my knees are hurting? Or is it just because I haven't had any sleep? Or is it just because I haven't had a chance to sit down and do anything but just stay right over here? Is it really, are they really bothering me that bad, or is it just me? Am I tired? How many different swings here? Thirsty appeals. Lord have mercy. Sometimes on third shift, the older I got, the harder it was to sleep on third shift, and the meaner I got on third shift. I remember one time when DC was only about, he was less than 2 years old, he was like 18 months old. And I had to go to work, I was the second night of third shift, we're sitting there, and by then you didn't have all these channels. So we had gospel music time through Williamson, came on one night a week, it was on one Monday night. So we're sitting before, I just got up, I'm sitting down, my wife's sitting there, DC's mom, and DC's only about 18 months old. I was just already healed. And she said something out of that way, she said it, and I just jumped right in and started. I just started,
yeah, 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 yeah.
And she started back, yeah, 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 yeah. Remember going at it? This is the gospel music time. Praise God, that was stupid. Praise God. In D.C., at 18 months old, I know what happened. God looked down and saw us and said, so y'all worshiping me and fighting one another at the same time. Wow, that's awesome. I guess y'all don't know where this is coming from, so I'm going to use one of the purest heart here to go through your hard head. And D.C. stood up and he walked over. And he grabbed his mama's hand, and he walked over and grabbed mine, and he pulled them together and he said, let's pray.
Amen.
Guess what? That ended my illness that night. Okay. So Satan desires this. Now, this is our prelude. This was the opening. You might not see all this again coming up shortly, or maybe see a variation of it, but this is it. Now, the number one thing we talk about today, the Lord we just had. The Bible says, I tell you this, Peter, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is the most powerful and the most misquoted scripture I think I've ever seen before. Most powerful because it gives me hope. But it's misunderstood because people lose sight of who's what in the scripture. Let's do it again. We're going to talk about it right now. We're going to start it. 7 things the devil cannot do. Number one today. If you'll understand this, this will start you off in spiritual warfare in a winning situation. This is not a Hail Mary, this is a way to get it done. When I was a football coach, I would tell my guys all the time when I was running it, I would tell them this. I said, fellas, you don't have to do 25, 30 yards of carry. All you got to do is a couple of yards of carry. Just just a couple of yards to carry. If you can get a couple of yards to carry and keep that ball into a couple of yards to carry, I said, guess what? You're going to keep on and keep on and keep on until you get to the goal line. But if you keep on thinking you got to make the big Hail Mary and you got to make these big exorbitant plays, they're going to intercept you, you're going to lose the ball, things are going to get bad. But if you can just keep going, just two or three yards of play. Man, oh man. And some of us didn't understand it today. We're trying to get the Hail Mary. We're trying to get the great thing passed. We're trying to get the, you know, that awesome thing. And all God's saying, just give me a little bit every day. Just give me a little bit. If you can give me a little bit every day, you ain't got to make that. You're saying, well, I want to do this, Lord. I want to do it this way. And if you can't get it done in the day or two, then God, I failed you. God says, you ain't got to go out there. Celebrate the small victories. Just a little bit. And watch what I can do in your life. So here we go. Number one, the devil cannot, y'all say this with me, the devil cannot stop the building of God's church. I'll say that again. The devil cannot stop the building of God's church. One more time. The devil cannot stop the building of God's church. Give the Lord a hand clap for prayer. And I tell you, you are Peter. In the Greek, it's Petros, a large piece of rock. And on this rock, Petros, huge rock, like Shrivala, I will build my church. In other words, yes, you're part of the foundation. Yes, you're important, Peter. But it's your profession that I am the Son of God. That's the big rock. You are a little rock because you're used, you're there, you're part of the foundation, you're part of getting, you're part of the plan. But it's knowing and professing that I am the Son of God. That's where the power is. So yes, everybody in here, we can all be part of the little rocks. But the big rock is Jesus and the profession of our faith. Upon this huge rock, like Jehovah, I will build my church in the gates of hell, Hades. The power of the infernal region shall not overpower it, or be strong to its detriment, or hold out against it. So now, here it goes. Who do men say that I am? Wow. Miss yourself. Do you know Jesus never asked questions for his benefit? He always asks questions for ours, so we can better know ourselves. It's one thing when people say, I know what I'm going to do, I know what I would do. If I was you, I would. And you find him in the same situation, and they're not doing it. Since he's a blab plan, but it's a whole lot harder to grab the plan. We can blab it all day long. But the question is, can you grab it? Can you hold it? Can you do it? So remember, this is spiritual warfare. It's all about, Easter's all about. So, upon this rock I'll build my church. First, it was a person. The rock is Jesus. It's a profession that he's the Son of Christ. Or he's the Son of God. He is the Christ, the Son of God. And it is personal. Do you believe it? I love this. I'm going to go through it quickly. Instead of reading all the scriptures, I'm just going to go through it quickly. I want you to think about something. I love that picture. Jesus is the master builder. Wow. The church of Jesus. Get ready? Upon this rock I'll build my church. Jesus is the architect. Revelation 13:8. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. There we go. Come on over here. Get back up here. Come on. Stop it. I got a woman in the house that does the same thing. Ready? He's the architect, it said, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. He is the carpenter, Matthew 16:18 says, upon this rock I will build my church. He is the cornerstone, Psalm 18:22 says, he's the stone that the builders refused, and he's become the head, the cornerstone. He's the foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, no man can lay a foundation other than God. So, the three rest of the nails and the old wooden cross. Wow. He didn't need a Savior. Well, I got this revelation. Let me tell you, I'll talk about that one. I got a revelation years ago. I'm pretty sure you all got the same revelation, but just in case you didn't, this is something you've got to remember. This helps me when I go in on Mondays to the Penn Detention Center. It helps me when I go into hospitals. It helps me when I go into prisons. It helps me when I go into some very rough, rough situations. You ready? Satan is a defeated foe. Did you know that? And why is it so powerful? Because he won't accept it. If Satan's a defeated foe, why don't he lay down? You watch the major champions in boxing and the major champions in football and the major champions. These guys have longevity. Even after they get out of age when it shouldn't be having that longevity, it's because they refuse to accept defeat. Satan knows what the enemy has, but he will not accept. Wow. That is so, so, so powerful. I'll whisper it. Sit on this. If you get a chance to see that firsthand, you got a problem. Case of hell. Who's not your problem? What happens to you after you die? And that's what we talk about here. We're getting to talk about heaven, we're talking about some of the things. But we're talking about soul sleep, and we're talking about all the things. But coming up, we're going to be talking more about heaven, but we still had to get all that in. So now, the gates of the city, I want you to think about something. He said, the gates of hell shall not rebel against it. Upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of heaven, say Satan, as in just Satan, he said the gates of hell. So, the gates of the city represented wisdom. That's where the doctors and the lawyers and the Sanhedrin met. They represented authority. That's where they steered in and controlled the power. Authority was acted on there. Wayward children were judged there. People were judged there. There was power there. There was strength. That's where the ability was given for people to get their jobs done. The young men had strength, but the older guys didn't direct him. It was an entrance into activity. Satan and his angels, they affected the affairs of man in this world. The facts are, here it is. They keep saying, the gates are coming against us, the gates are coming against the church, the gates of hell are coming against the church, the gates of hell are coming against the church! There's something special about gates. They're stationary. But they don't move. That's why he didn't just say Satan. Well, Satan moves. But the boldest, the brightest, the most powerful that Satan's got in his arsenal. Yet are coming. But the gates? That lets me know that Jesus wants us to be on the offensive, not the defensive.
Yeah.
If you think about it that way, how many's ever gone fishing in a boat and put up a sign, free worms, and wait for the fish to jump in? Anybody? I don't feel too good today, so I'm going to sit in my reclining chair and I'm going to watch the waffles, and I'll keep my gun right here, and I'll put a sign outside saying, "Deer, come on in, enjoy yourself." But you've got to step into the territory. The same way, instead of us being afraid of the gates, let's storm the gates. Let's go forward, not backwards. Not go, woo, go forward. Let them know that we're not going to take it anymore. Go forward, not backwards, forward. I'm not trying to just defend my house. I'm going to protect my house. I'm going forward and fighting the enemy. When you get that, it's amazing. When you get that in your mind, what happens? Watch this. You're really close. The central, central task and desire is to prevent Jesus from being glorified. You know that? To glorify means to esteem, glorious, to magnify, to honor. And when you glorify Jesus, what you do is you acknowledge His being, you acknowledge His attributes, you acknowledge His acts. Jesus said, for us to glorify, he first said to God, "God, glorify your Son that I may glorify you." And in chapter 15 and 8, he says, we glorify Him when we become a productive Christian. When Jesus is glorified, something happens. It always happens. I'm going to look through it. Well, finish this scripture. John 10:10. The thief comes not but to kill, to steal, to destroy, but I'm come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. It's so amazing. And y'all know it too, when you're ministering to somebody, they're hurting, they're not thinking, and the enemy has flooded them with lies. And as you minister to them, as you pray with them, and as you begin to open their mind to the truth, it's amazing to watch John 10:10 come to life. Because that person sitting there, and they've been stolen from, they've been destroyed. Their attitude, their actions, their heart shows they're being killed on the inside. But when you show them the light of Jesus and tell them the truth, how the life comes back in them, it's very, very powerful. Gates of hell will not prevail. What in the world is the gates of hell will not prevail? They're stationary. That word prevail is actually two words. It's a compound word. The first word is opposition, intensity, and struggle. The second word is force of might. Remember, although the gates of hell are moving, Satan and his angels are. Okay, this is like their base. They're moving. But if you can take out the base, if you're trying to get rid of ants, do you just or stuff on one anthill that goes away? If you're going to get the ants, you've got to get to the queen. You've got to get to the colony in order to make it work. This is the colony. Opposition, intense, the struggle, force, or might. He never said that Satan wouldn't try. Never said the gates of hell would not try to figure out and work on you and get you and beat you down. He just said that it would not prevail. The more spiritual mature you become, the more intense the battle. So don't think that when you get older, it's going to get easier. When you get older, it's going to get harder. But you've been toughened up, and you don't understand just how hard it is. Because you've been fighting a long time, and you got scars. And all of those scars are not only a place of pain, but they're a place of healing, and they're a place where the anointing has touched your body. It's a place of victory. And so the scars that you've got, although the battle's more intense, you can handle it better because you've got the scars. Satan, again, let me say it, Satan is a defeated foe, and he won't accept it. Closing. In this world we have tribulation, but bid this year, if I've overcome the world, John 16:33. You will have tribulation. And there was tribulation, literally in Hebrew, is unusual pressure. You might have had unusual pressure lately. In this world, you're going to have unusual pressure. But be of good cheer. Be of good courage. So be cheerful and full of courage. Because the cross has already settled the battle issue. Remember, Satan is defeated foe. The problem is, number one, he won't accept it. Get ready. Here comes another house you want. The problem is Satan will not accept his defeat. That's number one problem. Number two problem is we won't accept it either. Wow. That's powerful. Are you fighting to victory, or are you fighting through victory? If I have accepted his defeat, I'm fighting through victory. I'm already a winner. But if I don't accept his defeat, then I'm not accepting my victory either. And I'm fighting trying to obtain victory. But I know he's already lost, and I know we've already won, so I'm victorious no matter what. Remember this. Number one, the devil cannot stop the building of God's church. And it's not a building, it's us. We've said this all the time, I say it all the time too, but I haven't seen, I won't say he's the first one to say it, but I didn't see that he was one of the major ones that said it. And I said, this is pretty cool because I never knew this. How many's ever heard of Billy Graham? Anybody heard of Billy Graham?
Oh yeah.
Wasn't he awesome?
Yes.
The event that went up in Charlotte, the Dove's Nest. And I found out that on the other side of the Dove's Nest, there was Billy Graham. And he came over and wrote in his hand a letter. He'd been praying for Dove's Nest and wrote about Dove's Nest and how God was going to use it. He prayed for God to use it, and they took that handwritten letter and they stuck it back in the hallway under a plaque. I thought it was the most awesome thing in that place I saw, but that letter of Billy Graham saying good things were going to happen. I said it was kind of funny when I first got there. I've been driving all that way and all that stuff. And some of the problems we were having trying to get in. I just said, we're going to get in. Then I said, we're going to get in. I've been driving all that way. All kinds of stuff was going on. And I looked over and I was praying. God, you got to do something. This is not right. This is crazy. They just said we were accepting, not accepting, not accepting, blah, 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 blah. And so I prayed to God and I said, God, I know you win. What's going on? And I saw it over Billy Graham. And I said, you're right. I'm not going here. We're invited. They go and say, I'm sorry, it was a mistake. She's in. Billy Graham said, I've read the last page of the Bible. It's all going to turn out all right. I've always said, I read the back of the book and we win. Oh, it's even better. I read the last page of the Bible. It's all going to turn out all right. Brandon, come on here, bro. Play something like that. Please. That spiritual warfare started 6,000 years ago in the garden. That's where it started. Satan did his best to rule the promises. That Adam. He did change the trajectory though, because Adam was no longer in that garden. But God said, I'll still be with you. And there's coming the day when the seed of woman is going to attack your seed. Serpent. You're going to bite this heel, he's going to crush your head. And we celebrate that in just a couple of weeks. But don't forget, God's got us. Man, oh man, God's got us. Sometimes we wonder. Sometimes we try to figure it out. But God's got us. You got to trust Him. And not fight through victory, fight through victory. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up and bow your head and close your eyes. Everybody. Stand up, bow your head and close your eyes. My question to you, first off, is how you and God do it. Are you striving to be your best, or are you just trying to get by? Are you looking forward to slipping through the gates, or are you just going to make it in? I could care less. I don't care about all the wars. I don't care about all the stuff. There's no more to this lifestyle. God, if I just get in, I'll be happy. And I'll just do whatever it takes just to get me in the door. Or are you, God, I want to be victorious. I want to fight battles. I want to win the battles for other people. I want people to see that God's powerful and God's moving in our life. The decision's yours. Every hit by the closed. If you know you can be closer to God than you are now, nobody's looking around, just slide that hand up. I know I can be closer. All right, we're going to pray together. All of us are going to pray together. Okay? Father, I trust you.
I trust you.
Help me to be all I can be.
To be all I can be.
For you.
For you.
I rededicate
my life to you.
Help me
to strive
for a powerful
anointing
in life.
I realize
Satan is a defeated foe.
Help me to stand
in victory
that
you've given me
in fight.
And having done all the same, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Every head still bowed. Every eye still closed. Maybe because of all the unusual pressure, you'll be having a hard time trying to really get it. That Satan is a defeated foe. And he's fighting you to keep you from accepting it just like he hasn't. He's never going to stop fighting you until the end of time. Never will he stop. But your attitude is everything. Those satanic attacks against you and your family is 10%. What Satan do with 90%? How you respond to it? We're going to pray one more time together. Are you ready? Father,
I know
that Satan is a defeated foe. And I realize that he won't accept it.
That he won't accept it.
And he's going to fight me.
And he's going to fight
till the day I die.
Help me
to accept, his defeat. And
help me
to accept my victory through you.
Help me understand.
That was Satan attacks. It's 10% what he does, and 90% how I'm solved. I thank you, God, for this revelation. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, God. Give the Lord a hand clap and praise. Inside that's sitting in your pew hips. So what I'm gonna do right now is I'm gonna ask all the wheel. Hey, come on up here. Come on up here to this altar. All of you. This is the start of this series. I want us to start it out in style. You can stand, you can kneel, whatever you feel comfortable doing. It's not in our own power, our own light. Lord, help us, Lord, to accept his defeat and to accept our victory. I thank you, Lord, for this mighty man, for this mighty man, Lord, for this mighty woman of God, this mighty woman of God, this mighty man of God. I thank you for the mighty man, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the mighty woman, Lord. I thank you, God. You got this. I thank you for the mighty woman, the mighty women, Father. I thank you, Lord. Touch her right now. Listen to him in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for him right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Lord, his church, Lord, he glorified. Glorified. Lord, he glorified. Thank you, God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Say this with me. Says to me, Satan is defeated.
Satan is defeated.
He just won't accept it.
He just won't accept it.
But I will.
But I will.
Say it again. Satan won't accept it.
Satan won't
accept it. But I will.
I will.
I refuse to fight to victory.
To fight to
victory. I'm going to start fighting through victory.
I'm going to start fighting through victory.
And God, I thank you.
And God, I thank you.
That the satanic attacks.
The satanic attacks.
Are 90% Satan. And 90% Satan. 90% I respond to it. Amen.
Amen.
Take us into the Lord's Prayer. You're going to do the Lord's Prayer. You take us out. Right there, bro.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Now, Father God, it's an honor to be able to stand before you this morning and thank you for the awesomeness that you are, Father. We thank you for the answered prayers of this church. Father, we ask you now to pour the prayer to our hearts today, Lord, we take it outside. And prove the people for standing for you, standing with Jesus Christ. Be with us now, keep us all saved, and bring us back at the next time. This is all things, all we ask in the Lord.